The following presentation is brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about Rita or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation, Transpersonal Astrology Part 1 by Dane Rudyard. This talk is 45 minutes long.
During the last 20 years, and anything which become popular and widespreadly in use always has to face a great many issues and great many problems. A great deal of confusion very often exists as the result of so many people trying to bring in new ideas, old ideas, undigested ideas, memories or whatnot, and therefore it is really very important, I feel, that we should try to have as clear an idea as possible of the meaning of astrology, what it is, what it has been, what it might be perhaps, and also including what it is to be used for, because it is not only important to know what a thing is, but sometimes even more important to know how you can use it constructively and to the advantage of human beings. Now, the first point I would like to make is that there is not only one astrology. Astrology is a process, it's a long historical process which take different form according to the culture, the philosophy of the society in which it is taught and understood. That is a point which unfortunately is not sufficiently understood and sometimes not understood at all. Just like science or psychology has moved from one type to another type, so astrology molds itself to the type of consciousness, to the level of consciousness, and to the possibility of use which characterize any particular culture, any particular society. Now, I think it's very important that if we want to understand the possibility of astrology today, we have some sort of idea of what it originates from and the different phases of its development throughout the ages. Naturally, I am not going to give you a history of astrology, but I just want to point to three or four phases which, when understood, can clarify much of the opportunities which astrology has today to serve a function in mankind. The thing that you must realize is that in very ancient time, call it archaic time if you want to, particularly in a general sense before 600 BC, but even later, earlier than this, astrology was what I called locality-centered. Culture was a tribal culture. A tribe was a small group of human beings living in a small locality within a few square miles, able to travel perhaps 100 or 200 or 500 miles at the most, and as bound to the land as an ovum is to the mother womb. A drone's existence from the land, completely affected by fauna and flora, and experiencing in its own particular way the great phenomenon of the sky and the motion of the points of light in the sky, which we know as stars and planets. The astrology in those times was very simple. The earth was considered flat, and certain the sun, the moon, the planet, the stars were rising in the east, culminating, setting in the sun, and the main thing was connected, the main factor in astrology were connected with those facts, and also with the rising of stars after sunset and such matters. When societies develop on a very broad agricultural basis on the border of great rivers, which usually were in somewhat desertic or semi-desertic countries, a new type of philosophy developed, which has usually been understood under the name of vitalist. The vitalistic approach to astrology, as to philosophy, as cosmology or or religion, was that there was one great power which you call life, which suffused the whole universe, that power differentiated in dual form, masculine and feminine, and that duality, which was the very essence of existence, reflected itself or was expressed itself in the dualism of the sky and the earth. The sky being seen as the abode of the gods, that majestic, vast immensity of darkness with those marvelous discs and points of light, whose motion were periodical, were available for knowledge, predictable, and therefore which represent the realm of divine order, in contrast to the earth, which was the realm of darkness, confusion, chaos, human passion, problem of all sorts, and tragedy of all sorts, and so on. And the whole point of astrology was to try to attune the earth to the sky, attune human being to the rhythm and order of the sky, so that the state, the nation, it was no nation at the time, but the state, the magnified tribe, the culture, became a reflection, a direct, exact reflection of the order of the sky. We find that particularly stressed and very clearly expressed in China, and Chinese astrology, and the whole essence of Chinese civilization was based on the idea that the order of the heaven could be reflected on the earth, which is called the state, human society. The emperor stood at the center, in between. He was a celestial man, a god man, if you want. He stood there as the lens through which the order of the sky could reflect itself on the earth, and if everything was correct in that lens, then the reflection of heaven was perfect on earth, and the state or humanity was in very good order. If the emperor was twisted, the lens was imperfect, then the reflection was also imperfect, and therefore you had trouble, conflict, war, and disorder on the earth. That was the kind of astrology which developed particularly developed in Chaldea, in India, in China, in Egypt, and in all those great cultures which grew along the border of great rivers with inundations, floods, all of which was regular, predictable, and was related to the motion of the planet, the star, the rising of the stars, and so on. Now, Soon, however, at a certain time, the concept arose that the earth was not flat, that actually we lived in a universe in which the earth was moving around the sun, and the concept of a solar system gradually took shape. Only a few people until before the Christian era were able to have such a perception of this universe, but nevertheless they had it, and it began to influence the thought of at least a small elite of mankind. And as you know, it was during the Renaissance in the 15th, 16th, 17th century that the concept of the heliocentric universe developed, and changing to a large extent the relationship of man to the universe. Now, the moment you have such a kind of solar system, what I call the heliocosm, the little cosmos centered around the sun, helios, then you are dealing with all sorts of problems, which of course never existed in ancient archaic astrology. The earth being a globe, there are human beings all over the globe. There is a northern hemisphere, there is a southern hemisphere, there are problems of latitudes, the position of the star, the constellations change according to the latitude of the observer. All sorts of problems arise which are the result of that particular approach to the universe. In that kind of approach, the sun is the center of everything. The relationship of the earth to the sun is absolutely dominant, because it is that which conditions the development of life on earth. And while in the past, in the ancient days, what was particularly developed was the concept of constellations, constellation being the bodies of celestial gods which directed everything on earth, which were the positive power of the universe. And as the sun moved over them throughout the year, then it acts as a lens focusing the energies of one constellation after another, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and so on, upon the earth and changing condition on earth. But the moment that you don't pay too much attention to the stars and the constellation, but you are dealing essentially with the relationship between the sun and the earth, because everything on earth is seen to depend on the energy released by the sun, then you have a different concept of the zodiac. You have what is called a tropical zodiac, you have, which merely is a division of the orbit of the earth around the sun into 12 sections, which need not correspond to what the old constellations were. Now, the important thing is that, I mean, for our purpose today, is that in that type of astrology, what you are dealing with is the planet as a whole. If you look at an ephemeris, astrological ephemeris, all motions, all positions are related to the center of the earth, the center of the sun, the center of every planet. It's a kind of abstract relationship, but one which deals with the totality of the earth, and therefore the totality of mankind. So that what we are dealing in that kind of astrology is actually human nature, rather than the particular conditions which affect a particular individual person. An individual person is merely seen as a particular expression, as a particular aspect of human nature. And what is birth chart reveal, or other things derived from the birth chart reveal, is how that particular aspect of human nature is affected by changes which affect the whole earth. So that kind of astrology, which is the kind that has been in use in the last few centuries, particularly since the Renaissance, is a astrology which really deals with human nature rather than with individual persons. I think this is a very important fact which is usually entirely misunderstood, because people do not realize that what what is taken for granted in this kind of astrology is not the individual factor, but the factor of the human nature, how the different instincts, how the different capacities which are inherent in human nature can be thought to operate in a very particular instance. But what is operating is human nature, is collective generic traits. And the reason why you can make certain predictions according to the position of the sky, the planets and the earth and so on, is that human nature is a dominant factor still in most human beings, that individuals are still relatively little or have been relatively little individualized, and when they face any basic situation, whether it has to do with interpersonal relationship or with health or social condition, which are very broad and collectivistic in their view, the reaction of individuals is really not very different the one from the other. It's the kind of thing that is proven by the fact that you can make a poll of 2,000 people if you select different groups of people, and from those 2,000 people you can see how 200 million people will vote in an election, which shows that as individuals we are very little individualized indeed, and not at all original in most cases. We go by certain reactions of human nature depending on our class, your condition, our profession, and so on and so forth. Now, there is another kind of astrology. Before I get to the other things, let me say a few words of what you might call occult astrology. And that might particularly be of interest to members of the Theosophical Society who have read the books of H.P. Blavatsky and so on. There you are dealing with a type of astrology which essentially is of a very different order, because it is based on a different philosophy of life. It is based on the fact that according to that theosophical approach, or occult approach in general, man is moved from within outward, that there is beside or inside or above or around the physical being, the individualized human being, there are an occult, astral, sidereal world of existence, of forces, and those forces are the deciding factors which to a large extent control the individual person. And so in that kind of occult astrology you are dealing with elements which are actually not physical but astral and transcendental. There is a quotation which might amuse you from Isis Unveiled, a book of Blavatsky, a quotation which should make some of astrologers kind of pay attention, to say the least. Astrology is a science as infallible as astronomy itself, with the condition, however, that its interpreter must be equally infallible. And it is this condition sine qua non, so very difficult of realization, that has proven a stumbling block to both. Astrology is to exact astronomy what psychology is to exact physiology. In astrology and psychology, one has to step beyond the visible world of matter and enter into the domain of transcendent spirit. Now, this is a very interesting quotation. I can't go into detail about it, but you will see, of course, that infallibility in that sense is certainly an iffy question, and especially that astronomy is certainly not infallible, that physiology is certainly not infallible, and therefore that nothing really is infallible from our point of view at present. And that if you want to do in that, to deal with that occult world of astrology, you have to deal completely, to enter completely the domain of transcendent spirit. And of course, no astrologer that I know of today has ever attempt to do that, or is able to do that. Some of that approach called astrology you'll find in book like the book of Paracelsus or Boehme. There has been an attempt more recently by Alice Bailey to, in a book Esoteric Astrology, to deal with the effect or the power of a great star like Sirius, the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Betelgeuse. And this, of course, may be absolutely correct, but the point is that at the present time, if we had that kind of astrology, we would have actually to either be all functioning at an inner astral level, the world, and by astral I don't mean what is usually considered as the astral world, the world of spooks or psychic mediums or anything, elementals, but the world of forces, cosmic forces, which are controlling the development and the order of not only the solar system, but far more the galaxy as a whole. So that if you want to deal with those kind of forces, you have to deal with them really, at least from our physical point of view, from the point of view of a modern mind, with the galaxy rather than the solar system, and especially the planets. And as we have a very little amount of knowledge about the galaxy, that we know only little fragments of it, and that not very well, obviously anything that we can say about it is tentative. Those who are interested in my attitude toward those matters can read it in my book The Sun is Also a Star, the Galactic Dimension of Astrology, where I am not giving data about those things, but trying to show how the concept of the galaxy, which is a very recent thing, the great cosmic whole within which the solar system operates, that concept, very recent concept, only about 50 years old, is still so unsure that we can only see it as a direction toward which we may strive in our understanding of the universe and man, but certainly we cannot apply it in a very definite sense at the present time. Now, what I have been trying to do since some 50 years is that to think of astrology in a very different way, as from two different points of view. The first point of view is what I call humanistic astrology or person-centered astrology, is astrology which enables us to see how the person, the individual person, can become more fully integrated through a more complete knowledge of all the factors which are components of a total person. This integral or integrating person, astrology, is to some extent and to a large extent related to and can be made parallel to depth psychology, or especially a holistic kind of psychology which has been developed also during the last 20 years, and which now has been known as humanistic kind of psychology, the psychology of the whole person, the psychology which try to leave no part of the human being repressed or given negative valuation, but which can see the human person as a whole, as a complete whole, as a little cosmos, as a little solar system itself, you see. The sun representing, in a certain sense, the source of the vitality, and in a symbolical sense, the heart, not the physical heart as much as the central chakra in the human being, and the planet representing different functions of that organism, the solar system being considered as an organism, just as a total human being is also considered as an organism. You can think of it symbolically as a mandala. The mandala approach to astrology, I have used that sentence since 1936. It is now very popular, and everybody uses it, sometimes not knowing too much what they are talking about. And the idea is there that the human being is an integrated whole, and that by seeing the relationship between the different parts of that whole, the way the planets operate in relation to one another, their great cycle, you are able to clock, as it were, the development of a total human being as an individual person. Now, this is, of course, to some extent based on a development of human nature, but in what I call the person-centered guide of astrology, you are dealing essentially with the individual factor. The individualizing forces of human nature are given a prominent and preeminent forces, and instead of featuring almost exclusively the zodiac, which represents the different signs of the zodiac, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and so on, which represent different modalities of the life energies, which are common to all human beings and to the planet as a whole. We are dealing more particularly with a different kind of division, which is the division represented in astrology by the houses, which deal with a different type of experience through which any particular individual can particularly become individualized in a particular way of life. Now, that is, of course, what we want then to try to understand, is to try to understand, from that point of view, how you can fulfill what you are personally, and try to understand why you are fulfilling it, why you have to fulfill it, what is the meaning of your life, why you are born, what you are as a person, what it includes. And one does this if you realize that the birth chart is not something external to you, something that you are born into, but that you are your birth chart. As far as that particular person which is born at a certain time and will die and come to some sort of maturity in between birth and death, the birth chart is the blueprint of that particular person. And there you find there symbolically expressed, astrology becomes a symbolical language, as it were, you find there symbolically expressed what the person is meant to do and how it can best do it. Now, the essential point in that kind of philosophy, of course, of astrology, is that you have to realize that there is absolutely nothing in a birth chart which you can call bad or good, or favorable or unfavorable. There are no signs which is better than any other sign, no planet better than any other planet, no chart which is any sense better chart than any other chart. Your chart is the chart which is you, and that is what you have to do. That is your Dharma, that is your truth of your being, and you are not external to it. That is what you are as a structure of being, as your truth of your being, at least considering yourself as that particular person which is born and died, and not as a kind of transcendent, mysterious soul floating down somewhere in the sky. Astrology is essentially dealing with organism, and when you are dealing with a person, you deal with an organism. Now, what may be transcendent to that organism, how it can be linked in a transcendent way with still higher kind of organism of collectivities, is something that is not to be shown in the birth chart at all, except in a particular way which I am going to deal with in a moment. That is, therefore, the integrative kind of astrology, which in a sense is really not in the least a descriptive sense, but what you might call a cosmotherapy. Astrology is to be used to be completely whole, made whole, to become therefore healed, as it were, of all your repressions, your partialities, your only partial fulfillment, so that you can see yourself in terms of the wholeness of your being and not merely in terms of that particular little things which is angry or which is attracted to this or which has that particular experience or this particular experience. You begin to see your life as a process from birth to death, and every event in your life is a phase of that process. The event itself is of no importance whatsoever. Astrology does not deal with events. At least this kind of astrology does not deal with events, but only with phase in the process of development of that total person which you are. And to change, and the very change that takes place in the consciousness, where what was regarded as a fortuitous event, perhaps a catastrophe, an illness, a fall, or a tragedy, and all that, when that is changed in your mind, in your consciousness, as a phase of a process, one phase among many other phases, all of which are necessary for the fulfillment of your total person, that change in the consciousness can be tremendous and can be the most healing process that there possibly can be. You begin to find out that you are there for a particular purpose, that everything fits into that purpose, and that it is only in the realization of that fittingness of purpose that you can be whole. In that sense, therefore, astrology can be used not as a curiosity, to satisfy the curiosity to find out how somebody else ticks, so that you can control it, or you can feel very clever when you can tell the person, oh, you are this and this and this, and the person, how did you know? That has nothing to do with the real astrology. It is unfortunately the thing which fills in all the popular astrology books and papers and so on. This is mere curiosity, this is descriptive things, and just as descriptive psychology is quite unimportant, except that you have to do it when you go to school, and it can train you into look at things in a certain way. In that sense, it is valuable, of course, but merely as a prelude, as a prologue, which on itself doesn't deal with the important thing, which is the guidance factors, which enable you to see a situation, and a situation in which a person is find itself at any time, as a whole. Not only the situation is a whole itself, with all its ramifications, all the things that are part of it. But that situation is a little phase of the whole life from birth to death. And you are able to see that situation in terms of that whole process of living. And therefore, knowing its place, you know its meaning and how it fits into the pattern of your whole life development. Knowing that, you can reinterpret all what has happened to you in the past, and things which may seem to have been terrible may be realized to be a blessing in disguise, things which were absolutely necessary to reach the kind of fulfillment which either you have met or which is still ahead of you. Now, this is person-centered astrology, and that is the things which I started my astrological work with. Those of you who have read Astrology of Personality know that that is what I mainly try to develop at that time, in terms of the holistic philosophy of Smuts, in terms of the depth psychology of Jung and related matters. But the question is, this is all fine. You accept your chart, you try to fulfill it, you realize what is the meaning of your life and so on. But to what purpose? You are whole, fine, you are whole. But whole in relation to what? You can be so concerned with your wholeness, as so many people belonging to the movement of consciousness today are concerned, the human potential movement and all those things which are so popular and fashionable today. You get so concerned with yourself that you can think of nothing else. Sure, you have to be whole. You have to see yourself as a whole, your life as a whole. But the essential thing from my point of view is that you have to see yourself whole in relation to a larger whole, which, for lack of a better term, we may call humanity, or in a broader sense, the planet Earth as a whole, of which humanity is only a functional part with a very definite function to perform. Now, these all are very different concepts, you see, from what most astrologers have in their mind, or what most people in our Western civilization have in their mind. We still think of ourselves in terms of the old religious idea as foreign to the earth, soul dropped into the earth to learn certain lessons, but we don't belong there, it's a planet of hell, and we have to get out as quickly as we can and return to the mysterious and wonderful whole, and everything is wonderful and so on. Which is all right from a certain point of view, but when you are dealing with the immediacy of the circumstance and so on, you can get into a great deal of confusion with that, and you can get into a tremendous sense of alienation, which is unfortunately what is the case in so many instances today among particularly young people. Now, because of that, in the recent years, I have developed more what I call the concept of transpersonal astrology, or astrology of transformation. In other words, because we are in a period of crisis, which imply and involve the whole of mankind, we are faced constantly with the possibility and indeed the opportunity to transform ourselves, to become more than we are as human beings, as merely human beings. We can move from one level, not only of consciousness, but of rhythm, of activity, to another level. And in doing that, you see, we can change the frame of reference which we have been functioning into today in our present human consciousness, and we can ascend to or expand into a much larger frame of reference, which includes humanity as a whole, and of course eventually still greater cosmic whole, but which is are very much so far from us at the present time that it's better not to think about it. Now this is a very important issue, you see, because it is, for instance, the great issue on which Buddhism floundered in the, well, at least the early part of the career of Buddhism, because for one reason or another, the concept, the ideas of the Buddha became, of Gautama the Buddha, became interpreted to a large extent as saying that this was a world of suffering and you had to get out of it as soon as you can, so you didn't have to reincarnate in it and so on, and trying to find the cause of suffering, you try to neutralize those causes and you reach a nirvana. Now you did that supposedly as an individual person, to meditation, to concentration, to the dispelling of ignorance and so on. But the result of that, that was the development of what became known later as the Buddha of selfishness, as the being who is so totally concerned with reaching nirvana for himself and without any regard whatsoever for what happened to the rest of human beings. And that is the kind of things that we have to consider today, because it's a very important thing indeed. Now, as a result of that, after some 500 years of early Buddhism, there developed in the north, and perhaps other parts at first in small groups, but popularly, I mean publicly in the north, developed what is called Mahayana Buddhism, Northern Buddhism, which brought as the ideal of the Bodhisattva, the man who is ready to reach nirvana, to reach fulfillment, and has freed himself from the causes of suffering and the illusions, but renounce that freedom because he realized that it is an illusory freedom, because he is part of the earth, he is part of mankind. And everything that had conditioned his life in which he renounced that, in which he dispelled that ignorance, everything which was around him and all that, to that he is also bound. And to negate that attachment to everything is a fallacy if it means only that you separate yourself from it, exclude everything else, and go selfishly into your liberation or nirvana or whatever you want to call it. So that you are part of mankind. It is as a part of mankind that you have reached that liberation. And therefore it is a futile and illusory liberation unless the whole of mankind is also liberated. And so the Bodhisattva vow was to renounce all nirvana until every sentient creature, not only human being, but every sentient creature on the earth, through the biosphere, the whole earth, therefore, would be also liberated and free. Which is the realization, therefore, that fulfillment as a person is illusory unless it is implied, unless it implies the fulfillment of whole mankind, and that though you have to be to some extent fulfilled in order to create an atmosphere of fulfillment around you and work to the fulfillment of humanity as a whole, nevertheless that fulfillment can never be achieved significantly except when everything is also fulfilled. That is to say, everything that you are doing must be in terms of a larger frame of reference than yourself as a person. That larger frame of reference being humanity. Now, astrologically, you are a remarkable symbol of that process when you consider that the solar system is part of the galaxy. Man is part of the planet is part of the solar system is part of the galaxy. One little hole is part of a larger hole, which in turn is a little hole part of a larger hole, and so on and so forth. That is what I call the principle of holarchy, the holarchy, holos, archy, the principle of wholeness. Or the hierarchy, today in modern science, they speak very much of the hierarchy of systems as a cosmic factor. Now, the idea then comes that the solar system is related to the galaxy just as we are related to humanity as a whole. And just as around our physical body that bind us very physically and solidly, there is that aura which surrounds us. So there is around the solar system proper, which then is realized to stop at Saturn. There is an aura of the solar system.
This is the end of Transpersonal Astrology, Part 1 by Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.